Well, it was an interesting week in the world of college football as the BCS standings were shaken up, upsets were had, and everybody thought it was going to be LSU and Oklahoma State in the BCS championship game last week. How quickly things change. I'm joined by the college football professor, as always. There's only one team remaining undefeated in the world of college football from a major conference, and that has a chance to play in the national championship. That's LSU. A lot of one-loss teams now, but a lot of them lost. What do you make of everything that took place last weekend?
What a ride. Intrigue after intrigue. This is fun. This is excitement. This is the interest that the BCS brings to college football. Jacob, you might remember that last week the old professor began our show with these words, and I quote, "The biggest thing that jumped out at me was the strength of the SEC," speaking of the week prior to this week that we've just had. "Now with the SEC number one, number two, and number three in the BCS, everyone else sees exactly what I was seeing last week." The second thought that comes to my mind is the bogus argument that is calling for no rematch. This argument goes against every grain of what competition calls for. We have rematches in the NFL. We have rematches in boxing. Almost every year, gymnastics comes down to two teams who may have competed against each other two or three times during the year. 2 years ago, the Final Six in women's gymnastics had five of six teams from the SEC who had competed against each other two or three times. We have had three from one conference in the Final Four in basketball. I've not heard one person say that they did not think that one conference ought to have too many teams in the Final Four. They cannot win the national championship if it didn't win their conference. Listen, if there were a heavyweight boxing championship where two boxers go toe-to-toe for 15 rounds, before they get out of the ring that day, the rematch is already scheduled. College football has a playoff. It's November in college football.
Do you think there's a lot of bias against the SEC, though, in particular this rematch? Because I don't remember the same arguments being made a couple years ago when there was a possibility of Ohio State and Michigan playing.
You might say it a different way, Jacob. There's bias when you can't beat the ones on top.
That's a good point. What other thoughts do you have about last week?
Well, the mantra has always been, let the two best teams play for the championship. That's exactly what the BCS is producing. But let's think about the week that was. Jacob, have you ever seen so many twists and turns in one weekend of college football?
Well, I likened it to March Madness the other night when you had USC Oregon. That was a thriller. Came down to a final field goal, and then they flipped over on our local ABC station to the Baylor Oklahoma game, which was just as good. It was fantastic finish after fantastic finish.
By the way, you might remember Paul Rhodes was the defensive coordinator for Pittsburgh when they beat West Virginia to knock them out of the national championship game in 2007. Of course, Paul Rhodes is the head coach of the great team from Iowa State.
And he was also Auburn's defensive coordinator at one point, too, under Tommy Tuberville.
Well, I'm just
not one of his greater accomplishments there in that short time he was there. What about the power rankings?
Well, in the power rankings, I have in the SEC now, it hadn't changed, LSU, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, and South Carolina.
Yep, that's exactly how I would go in the SEC, no question.
My power ranking for the national power ranking is LSU, Alabama, and Arkansas. Oh, I've got to have five. Well, let's throw Oklahoma State and Virginia Tech in.
You know, there's no way I'm going to put Oklahoma State ahead of Virginia Tech, in my opinion. And I heard Kirk Herbstreit with his megaphone railing against Virginia Tech last night. How can you argue with the success that Frank Beamer has had there at that program? They lost one time this year to a Clemson team, which I might add is very good, only has two losses on the year. So you look at the loss for Virginia Tech against Clemson, and you look at the loss for Oklahoma State at Iowa State. I think Virginia Tech is a better football team. All right, let's roll on. Who do we have to pick this week?
Well, you know, look at our picks. Well, let's review just a moment. Last week, the old professor was 9-1, and Jacob, you had a great record. You were 8-2. The record for old professor at this point is 103 17.
Wow.
Let's look at this week's games.
Okay.
The first one is Ole Miss with a 2-9 record at Mississippi State with a 5-6 record. Now, Jacob, you might not be aware of this, but this will be the 108th meeting of these two great, mighty teams from the state of Mississippi. Ole Miss leads the series 60-41-6. Now, you know, you might think about this. Think about what's going on with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. This is a big change since 2008, just 3 years ago, when Ole Miss won the game 45-0. But now, I don't think Ole Miss has scored 45 points this year, have they?
No, they haven't.
I'm going to pick Mississippi State.
It will be interesting to watch as an observer. I think it might be a close game. Houston Nutt's last hurrah and all that. But I expect Mississippi State to win, and they have a chance to go to a bowl or get bowl eligible, and they will go to a bowl if they get so. And you look at their resume, they've lost to really bad teams. Had Chris Relf extended his arm, they might could have beaten Auburn, but they haven't lost to bad teams. Ole Miss, on the other hand, is a disaster.
Well, I'm not so sure that, you know, Houston Nutt, to say that he's lost the team, I think is an understatement.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting that blame on Houston Nutt. I'm just saying it's
well,
chaotic
there's a lot. Yeah,
situation.
I would agree with you, but I think a lot of it has to do with the whole situation.
Our second game is, as you have mentioned a moment ago, the Clemson Tigers at South Carolina. Both of these teams have a 9-win, 2-loss record. Can you imagine in any other year when these two teams would meet with a 9-2 record, what kind of attention they'd be receiving? But there's hardly a crow or a tweet coming from this game. Have they ever met before with 9-2 records? This is their 109th meeting, and I doubt they've ever come in ranked this high or looking this good. The Gamecocks have won 2 straight, but Clemson University is 9-2 in Columbia since 1989. But I'm going to pick the upset, South Carolina over Clemson.
It's hard to say that's an upset considering it's played in Columbia. I don't know if I'm sure Clemson's probably favored. They got blasted, though, last week by North Carolina State in what I don't think a lot of people saw coming. But I'm going to agree with you. I like South Carolina in this one. I think Steve Spurrier gets to 10 wins. And is that not a solid year? The problem is it just went so under the radar when you factor in what the West is doing.
It's just amazing, isn't it, that these two teams are meeting with this kind of record.
ESPN Game Day would have gone there had Clemson not lost. Now they're going to the Iron Bowl.
The next game is Arkansas with a 10-1 record at LSU with 11-0 record. Now I know they have never met with a combined record of 21-1. Arkansas has a 3-2 advantage over LSU over the last 5 meetings. Last year they came to this game with LSU ranked number 6 and Arkansas ranked number 12. And Arkansas won the game 31-23. In 2007, Arkansas came to Baton Rouge with LSU ranked number 1, and Arkansas won the game 50-48. LSU leads the series, though, 34-20-2. I've thought a lot about this game, and I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I have to pick someone to win, and I'm going to go with LSU.
Interestingly, in 2007, when they won that game 50-48, LSU ended up winning the national championship that year, so that could be interesting. They could be on their way to New Orleans again. This is a tough one. I have gone back and forth, and I believe I'm going to go with the Razorbacks to go into Baton Rouge and pick up the victory. As hard as that may sound, I think LSU is going to be exploited by this. I think Arkansas is hitting their stride right now, so I'm going to take the Hogs.
The next game will be Florida State with a 7-4 record at Florida. Now, last year, Florida State won this game 31-7, and that snapped a 6-game winning streak by Florida. The Gators have won 7 straight home finals, but in this game, I'm going to pick the upset again with Florida upsetting Florida State.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one, too. I know we're agreeing a lot today, but Florida, I think they really have something on the line here. They played very poorly against Furman the other day. Florida State lost to Virginia last week, so they don't have a lot going for them either, but it's in the swamp by virtue of home field. I'm going to take the Gators.
Our next game is Alabama with a 10-1 record at Auburn with a 7-4 record. Last year, Alabama led 24-0, but lost. They are 2 wins, 2 losses. They're 2-2, in other words, in the last 4 years. Alabama has a lot to play for. It would seem that if Alabama wins, they will be in the national championship game, which they most likely will win. But I'm going with Alabama in this game.
This is a classic setup for an upset. It really is. On the road, a lot of things Auburn could pull off here, but take down Alabama's and destroy their chances of a national championship. However, I'm going to take Alabama. I think they're just too strong, and Auburn hasn't impressed me at all. And in the big games this year, so I'll take Alabama by a comfortable 10 or 13-point margin.
The next game is Tennessee at Kentucky. Do you realize how close Tennessee came to having a season with 0 wins in the SEC? But UK has lost 26 in a row to the University of Tennessee. Jacob, do you realize that's the longest losing streak in the NCAA? Wow. Tennessee last lost in Lexington in 1981. I'm going to pick Tennessee to win the game.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. You get Tennessee acting like they've won the Super Bowl now for beating Vanderbilt. I never thought I'd see Tennessee football at that stage, but they did. They eked it out the other night by virtue of a near-blown call at the end of that one. I'm going to take Kentucky, though. I think they will end the years and years of frustration and end Tennessee's hopes of reaching a bowl game. It's at home. Last week, when they played Georgia, Kentucky showed some real possibilities. They showed that they could play with a good team, and a couple weeks ago they blew out Ole Miss. So I think Kentucky can find some weaknesses in Tennessee, plus it's in Lexington. I'll take the Cats.
The next game is the Penn State University.
And plus, let me just say one more thing. If they could just give them Terrence Jones, that might help too.
That would help. Penn State at Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin is 14-4-2 in their last games at Camp Randall as a final game. They're 14-4 in their last games at Camp Randall. But I'm going to pick an upset here. I'm going to pick Penn State to win this game.
I'm going to take Wisconsin at home, under the lights, Camp Randall. Not even a question for me.
The next one is Pitt at West Virginia. Now, Jacob, this is the 104th backyard brawl. Annually, since 1943, they have played. And there have been upsets in 6 of the last 9 meetings. You might remember, in 2007, Pitt came to Morgantown with the Mountaineers ranked number 2 and headed to the national championship game. And the Panthers won 13-9. I'm going to go with West Virginia this year.
Me too. I like Dana Holgorsen's squad this year, the way they are playing. I picked them to win the Big East, so I'll give them this game this weekend against their biggest rival.
The next game is a game that's quite a rivalry. It's Memphis. Uh-huh. The Memphis Tigers at the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. And the Tigers are 9-28 versus Southern Miss. And they have played every year since 1952, except in 1980. They're 2-2 over the last 4 years. But I'm going to pick Southern Miss to win, even though Southern Miss is probably still hurting from their loss at Legion Field to UAB.
Yeah, bad loss last week for Larry Fedora's squad. I think they'll rebound with a whipping of Memphis.
The next one, and our last one, is Purdue at Indiana. Purdue comes in with a 5-win, 6-loss record. Indiana comes in with 1 win and 10 losses. Purdue is 11-3 since 1987. However, they're 2-2 over the last 4 years. Indiana has outgained Purdue in 4 of the last 5 games they've played. Last year, Indiana won 34-31. However, I'm going to go with Purdue, the Boilermakers, to win this game.
I am too. I think this is the battle for the Oaken Bucket, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what they play for up there in this particular game. Yeah, I'm going to take the Boilermakers to win this game.
Before we go to the Chalk Talk, let me make one comment. I think, now, this is just I've been doing some thinking, trying to do creative thinking about college football. And I think there should be a bowl game this year. And each year, we ought to select a couple teams like this. But I think there should be a bowl game this year between Indiana and Kansas. And I think it should be played in Washington, D.C. And I think they should call this the Congress Bowl. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Sounds good to me. What do we have for the Chalk Talk this week?
Well, let's talk about some numbers. Now, you remember last week, people who really don't know much about what they're talking about make, you know, statements. And a statement was made about Alabama playing...
That would be me, by the way.
Alabama playing Georgia Southern. Many thought this is a nothing game. However, when you begin to look deeper into this, first of all, Georgia came in with only one loss over the year.
You mean Georgia Southern?
Georgia Southern.
Yes.
And Georgia Southern came in with only one loss over the year. And they were ranked by the computers number 73. Now, if you think 73...
Now, that's Sagarin ratings you're using there.
Yeah. If you want to look at that as not being very good, 73, let's just think about some other teams. Oregon State, who is Oregon's next opponent, I believe, they're ranked number 99. Missouri State, who Oregon beat, was ranked 181 in the computers. North Carolina State, who defeated Clemson and handily defeated them this past week, North Carolina State was ranked number 75. All these below Georgia Southern. Washington State ranked 77. Now, this is the Pac-10 strength. Washington State, 77. Arizona, 80. Colorado, 111. Minnesota from the Big Ten, 101. Duke from the Atlantic Coast, 112. Boston College from the Atlantic Coast, 108. And Boston College lost to Notre Dame by 2 points, 16-14. One other quick thing we'd look at, Georgia Southern is in first place in the Southern Conference. Sanford also plays in Southern Conference. They lost to Auburn 35-16, so Sanford scored 16 points on Auburn. South Carolina defeated another Southern Conference team, the Citadel, 41-20, so they scored 20 points on South Carolina. Florida defeated Furman from the Southern Conference, 54-32. Furman scored 32 points on Florida. So I think sometimes we sell these teams short. But nonetheless, in the end, the top teams will come out if we'll just stop trying to look at things through our imagination or through our assumptions. So that's what the Chalk Talk would like to say to us today.
Professor, thanks so much. We'll talk to you after Rivalry Week next week. Back on our Tuesday spot, by the way. We'll be back tomorrow. Everyone have a good day.